So before I get into this episode, I'd like to bring to light something I've been working on. If you're subscribed to my blog, you've probably heard of my Hunter Up initiative. If not, I'll try to sum it up for you. I'm afraid that hunting as we know it can go away, especially with the declining numbers of new hunters each year. I think it's so very important that we take the time and make a true effort to take the bull by the horns and each and every one of us personally introduce one new hunter into hunting. I'm also very unhappy with the hunting community as a whole, and its lack of respect for fellow hunters. We as a community spend a lot of time bashing each other over stupidity instead of promoting one another. The amount of energy that we spend arguing can be spent on more important things like conservation or introducing a kid into hunting. So I'm issuing all of you a challenge to take the time to help fellow hunters, introduce kids, and for God's sakes, stop promoting content that puts hunters in a bad light. Resist the urge to engage in these foolish arguments that we have. Stop the bashing. When you feel strongly about something or you disagree with a hunter, a fellow hunter, take that subject off social media, message that person directly, have a one-on-one debate about it. You're either going to leave understanding where that other person's coming from, or you're going to have said your piece and you move on. We're not all going to agree with the way others do things. And we don't have to. But what we should be doing is supporting all legal hunting because all we're doing is showing weakness and unrest within our community. And this just leaves chinks in the armor that let hunting, anti-hunting groups tear down what you have built, what we've all built. And we need to support hunting and hunters and use our efforts for good, like conservation and hunters education and introducing new hunters instead of wasting our time arguing about who predator hunts, who uses a Matthews and who uses a Hoyt. I mean, the stupid arguments that go on is just, it's okay to have debate, it's okay to have opinion, but really think about what it does when you argue on social media. You got to understand if there's something that's negative out there and you keep pushing it, I can't stress enough, if you don't understand the way Facebook algorithm works or Instagram or any of these, it's you comment on something, oh, you're an idiot for putting that out there. And you commenting on that just pushes that content up the ladder further and further until it gets wider and wider and the net gets larger and larger. And the more people can see it, the more people comment on it, the more people can see it. And eventually it's going to get in front of the eyes of somebody who's an anti-hunter and not just arguing about the hunt. And it's not good for us. So please stop the bashing and, get out there and help introduce hunters into hunting. Thanks again. And this episode, you can thank Phoenix Shooting Bags for bringing it to you. And this hunter initiative, they're helping me out with it. I appreciate what they're doing. And let's just jump into the next episode. Thank you. Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot and Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today, we got Colton Gibbons on the line, and we're gonna hear how his season went and share some stories and kind of shoot the shit a little bit. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Just getting ready for a new job and wrapping up guiding as far as that goes. And getting ready on my own and killing a few animals again for myself. So it's been a little while since I've actually gotten that chance.
Yeah. Guyton has a funny way of taking away a lot of those opportunities.
Yeah, it pretty much takes up every day. So from August 30th through November 19th, I spent 72 days in the mountains. So if you do the math on that, there's not a whole lot of time away from it. So
Yeah, especially if you want to have some
definitely
other
looking
some.
forward to this.
That's if, especially if you want to have some kind of life with
Yeah.
other than
Yep.
hunting. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's tough.
I just got married, so it's a little bit of a demand on my time from another party besides myself, so
Yeah, that's for sure.
yep.
I had a feeling when you told me that you were giving up guiding that that had something to do with it, that you were probably, it's because you were getting married or something. I think I remember you telling me you were getting married last time we spoke, but
Yep.
yeah.
So,
Cool.
yeah, it has a tendency of doing that. But how's everything been going with you? How's your guiding and your hunting been going?
Slow all the way around, to be honest
Yeah.
with you.
Yeah. That's been
2018
true.
2018 was the worst year personally that I had on of hunting on record, like as far as harvesting animals anyway. I mean, it's not a great time. It was a bad year, like, and nothing horrible happened. But it's just,
Yeah.
I went 15 plus years of filling 85% of my tags, and I literally filled, like, I shot a hog in California and a buck and a doe in New York, and that was it. And that was,
Wow.
from going and shooting anywhere between 9 to 12 animals a year for 15 years to only
Yeah.
doing three. It was kind of a, I started like doubting myself. I started like, what the hell's happening, man? Did I lose a step? Am I getting too old for this shit?
Exactly.
Because that's
I didn't.
drastic, you know?
Oh, it was this year was one of my very worst years ever myself, and it's kind of been a consistent thing that I've heard from not just you and I, but from quite a few people now hunting throughout the West, is that this year was one of the harder years they've ever had. So it's not just us from everything I've heard. So
Well, I
yeah,
guess
I
there's some comfort in that.
it definitely is some comfort in that. But yeah, I had one bull get harvested in our tree season, the very opening day, and then after that, I can tell you right now that it was some of the most brutal hunting I've had. My clients got opportunities. I wouldn't say they got shots off, not all of them got shots off, but they had opportunities. And I had some of the craziest things happen this year as far as that goes. I had a bull do a loop on me at one point and had two clients. That was actually that video that I sent you the other day.
Oh yeah, that bull is badass.
Oh my gosh, big old 6x7. I've been hunting him for 3 years and he finally steps out at 25 yards. But my client, he refused to bring his bow. And we're only 200 yards from the horses at this point. Refuses to bring his bow.
I don't
And
get that. Why did he not want to bring his bow?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's a 2-on-1 hunt, so he wasn't the shooter that day. But I told him very specifically that if you're out in the woods with me and you're hunting with me, you carry a bow because I'm going to leave you in a spot that you might get a shot. I mean, if the bull comes in from a different direction or a silent bull comes running in, then why not be able to shoot it? And he just told me he wasn't going to bring it and wasn't going to bring it and didn't bring it. And sure enough,
He's the
bull
one that
comes
had
out
up.
25 yards. Yep. It did a loop back on us. We chased after it. It came right back to the guy that I left back behind us. So,
Oh, nice.
yeah, it was definitely a wild year to say the least as far as that goes. So,
Yeah.
but
Oh, that's the way it
how's
rolls.
hunting?
My only saving grace for me this year was I had a really good predator season, like, so that's like the only thing that prevented me from slitting my wrist. I was like, all right, I can't be completely bad if I'm still whacking coyotes with a bow and
Yeah, that's true. That's it. You know, it's funny that you mentioned predators because I had more run-ins with predators this year than I have in the last 10 years of hunting, honestly. I ran into bears constantly. I ran into mountain lions. I ran into wolves on multiple occasions. One of them, cougar was stalking in, came in 30 yards. I left my rifle back at the horse, being an
Oof.
idiot, and just it was rifle elk season. I had two clients with me with rifles in their hands, and this bull or this cat comes stalking in at us 30 yards away, and I tell them to shoot the thing, and they don't. Cat runs away, and so that got blown. I had a bear and a couple of cubs come walking in on me while I was taking a nap on the side of the mountain, and ran into the wolves 5 or 6 times this year that they never are typically in there, but happened to be there this year. So it was definitely an interesting year. A lot of different hunting than I'm used to with elk. It was a little bit more silent than normal. So
Gotcha.
don't know if the predator numbers were up from last year, this year, everywhere, or what happened, but definitely wasn't good. I know that the lack of rain this summer out west didn't help a lot of areas, so
Yeah. We
yeah.
saw it last year, especially over here, and we've seen the effects of the rain. Like, it really messed with the rut. We always get like late rains, like right before December. Man, we didn't get them. The desert. The first time I ever remember hunting in December and January, where everything was just dry and nasty. Like, you go out there right now, it's like green grass and everything's lush and the ground's, well, hell, it rained yesterday or 2 days ago. And everything's wet and just the way I'm used to seeing it. And last year was oof, was terrible. And I noticed that I feel like the deer numbers are down a little bit. Not drastic, but I feel like the deer numbers are down because the rut wasn't really good, so I don't think as many does got bred.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. There, I think the rut wasn't quite what it normally is this year up here either. The spots that the elk usually hang out, they were a lot less concentrated than usual. And then we got an early snow in September, and I don't know if it triggered them to head out back up over the mountain or what happened, because they kind of bounce around in between their rutting area and then their winter range a bit where I'm at, and they didn't stay where they normally would be, and I would definitely say that the weather had a lot to do with it this year. It was a lot drier, and there wasn't as much wasn't much water up high as there normally is, so they had to
Gotcha.
go a little bit lower, I think, in order to stay hydrated. But
Cool.
yeah,
Well, you don't have to worry about it
bits.
anymore.
I know, right? Now I just have to fill a couple of tags a year instead of 10. So,
Well,
yeah.
gotcha.
What's been happening with your guiding over in Montana, right?
No,
Or no,
guiding
no,
in South
South
Dakota.
Dakota. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, we only I took two guys out this year. One of them was a close friend, one of my hunting partners actually, and that was Charles Whitman. And he that was his first time hunting mule deer with archery equipment. He got one in Idaho, matter of fact, a really nice one, like a 160 something with his rifle a couple years ago.
Nice.
But he's only hunted whitetails and blacktails, never hunted a muleys. We were in them. Man, it was good. It wasn't as good as normal. The lease that I have is it's a big cattle ranch. And we have none of the agricultural lands are ours.
But it's all surrounding us. So we have all the badlands, basically, what it is. It's just big cedar breaks, like, these like 300-foot drops from a, it's like flat prairie, and then it drops into these big canyons, 300, 400 feet.
Sounds like cool country.
It's really like, it's amazing. 'Cause you start up top, you drive up to the, to the ranch, and you walk out to the edge pretty much, and you start glassing. So you don't have to do a whole bunch of hiking until you find something, and then you're hiking all over the damn place. But, you start and just you're glassing, you find something you want to go after, put a stalk together, plan together, and go after it. I mean, we were in bucks every day, probably four or five different stalks a day. We were trading back and forth. I was being a really picky at first, for the first few days, and so I didn't really stalk that many. The first day I didn't stalk one. The second day I got on a nice buck, a 4x5 muley. Like, score wise, he probably was only like in the 50s, like 150, high 150, but he's a cool looking buck. And I was right about 100 yards, and I had the cover. I just needed to, move slow and close. I had the wind, I had everything in my favor. And simultaneously, Charles was stalking another buck that we had found, and he bust that buck, and that buck comes from like 400 or 500 yards over from where he was stalking him, runs
Oh
right to,
no.
jumps on top of my bedded buck, basically gets my buck up, and goes. And it was just one thing after another with me, man. Like, I can't tell you how many times I was like seconds or like feet away from being able to make it happen, and then something would happen. And Charles was just like, he was ready to come back the day we came, the day we got home. He was ready to go back, like, 'cause we just, he had so many opportunities, and he actually got a shot off on the biggest bucket that we've seen in the whole ranch.
Really?
And unfortunately, and it wasn't like a super long shot, but the buck was looking at him when he shot, so he reacted. He turned, like, turned all the way around, and I got it on video too through my phone scope from like a mile away, so it's not the greatest video, but the buck turns all the way around, and the arrow hits him in the rump.
No.
And then we, yeah. So, we kept eyes on him, followed him, put him to bed, and then Charles got another stalk shot. I got to like literally like four, like 12 yards on him, and he just,
Huh.
the wind switched like out of nowhere,
No.
and he busted out and he took off, and we never could find him again. But it was pretty crazy. Like, it was just one thing after another. He even had an
Yeah.
opportunity at like a bomber whitetail buck that was down in there too, because we see some whitetails down in there. Not as many muleys as not as many as there are muleys, but there's some really
Yep.
good whitetail in that area too. So, I've had one busted thing after another, just one like failed attendance. So the last day, the last morning, Charles was just frustrated, and he had an opportunity at like a little four corn, and he said, "Screw it, I'm just gonna shoot him." And he shot him at like 30 yards. And so after we
Yeah.
dragged his buck out, I have another chunk of land that's just all prairie, and then there's like a couple of creek bottoms, and the prairie, just on the outskirts of it's all like winter wheat and alfalfa. So what
Yep.
happens is all these deer go in bed in these creek bottoms, and then at night they come out the creek bottoms and feed out to these fields. So I said, well, that's going to be my best opportunity. I didn't hunt there the whole time. I don't usually like to hunt that, because it's like stand hunting almost. You're not getting in a stand, but
Yeah.
you're ambush hunting, and I wanted a spot and stalk. So, but I said, you
Yep.
know what? I need to put something on the ground. We've
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
it was like 15 degrees, super cold, windy as hell, which is always windy in South Dakota. But
I have a rule about the Dakotas. If it's not blowing dirt, it's blowing snow. So,
Yeah, we say if it's not blowing 20, it's blowing 30. That's
yeah,
what we
exactly.
that's what we say. But so we were again in this one spot, and I had an opportunity there last year with my buddy Zach. And it was a really good spot. It's basically a little these little fingers that feed down to the main creek bottom. So I snuck up into this little finger, and I knew that the deer were going to filter past me eventually. I got in there like 1:30 p.m. And I knew by like 4, the deer were going to start coming past. So I'm sitting there and I'm freezing my freaking ass off. I got like everything on. I literally have two base layers, Timberland pants. I'm wearing Kelvin puffies over them. I'm wearing the two base layers up top, plus a merino. Oh no, the Fanatic hoodie with the big Kelvin jacket,
You look
with
like
a
an
Kelvin
overstuffed
light
tick, is
vest.
what you're
Oh no,
saying.
wait, with a mountain vest underneath, and then
Oh
over
my
that,
gosh.
dude, I was like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and I was still freezing my ass off. So, and anyway, so I'm just, I picked this one spot. I knew for sure that I was gonna have an opportunity of some sort, because there's these like I'm gonna call them willows, but because I don't really know what they are, but they look like what willows look like.
Yeah.
I don't think they are willows. So these little sapling trees right at the foot of this like little finger cut that opens up to the bottom of this thing, and I could tell that bucks had been rubbing on it and whatever. And I said, I have a feeling if I sit here, Buck's gonna come down this way. He's gonna stop. He's gonna rub on these trees, and before he heads out, sure as
Yep.
shit. So I'm sitting there, and I'm getting tired too. I'm just exhausted, which is, day six, and I'm been hunting hard, and I'm cold. And so I lay down and I close my eyes, and then I nodded off. And I was like, oh shit. And I popped up and I looked at my phone, and I'm like, oh shit, it's 4:15. I'm like, deer are gonna be moving already. I need to fucking get up, So I kind of like peeked my head up and looked over the top of this ridge, or the top of this cut, to look up the creek bottom. And I saw four does across from me, and they're feeding. I'm like, oh shit, there's some does right there. And I kind of just glanced down at the bottom, and there's this freaking giant buck. I mean, mid 170s, chocolate horn, just super wide. He had the frame of like a 190, but he just didn't have the length. Like just super wide buck. And I'm like, holy shit. So I start willing him to walk in my direction. I'm like, come on, baby. Because the does are up above him. I'm like, oh shit, he's gonna go up to those does. He's not gonna come down the cut. Those does are already starting to feed up out of the bottom. But no, he starts coming to me, and I'm like, oh shit, all right. So I got this one window of opportunity. I'm like, if he steps out right here, he's gonna be at like 60 yards. So he's walking, he's walking, he's walking straight for that spot. Just slow, just moseying. And I'm like, oh fuck, he's coming, he's coming. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't there. And I'm like, what the frick? And I kind of like got up a little bit, and I peek over the edge, and I could see the tips of his antlers, and he's walking towards me. So like, if you could picture, there's kind of like a ledge there, so I can't see. I can only see it, down to the bottom, but I can't see like up against the creek bank that I'm on. And he comes right to those willows that I was talking about, and I could see the willows just going. He's just beating the shit out of them. And so I'm like, oh, your ass is mine. So I draw back. I've just got all these clothes on, and I'm freezing cold, so I'm having a really hard time drawing my bow. But I get it back, and I get up and I stand up. And he is facing right at me with the tree between him and I. He doesn't know him. He doesn't see me. He's still raking the hell out of his tree, but I can't shoot him because the tree's in the way. You know, the sapling's in the
Yeah,
way. I'm gonna hit
exactly.
the sapling. I'm not gonna hit him. You know, I'm like, all right. So I'm holding. I'm holding. I'm like, all right. He's gonna come out of this thing, and I'm gonna whack him. I was probably at full draw for about 4 minutes, and finally, I was just like, fuck, I can't hold it anymore. I let down. So I got back down on my knees, and he just sit there and beat the hell out of that tree for another like 10 minutes, and I was like, okay. So in the
Good thing you
meantime,
had
I'm watching the tree going back and
it
forth like this, and I'm just kind of like.
down.
I'm like, he's just gonna keep feeding out, and I'm gonna get him over here. It's gonna be a 30-yard shot, right?
Yep.
I hear something, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? So I look over my left shoulder, and there's a doe literally 5 yards from me. She came
Oh,
up,
no.
fed over, and she was coming into that little finger cut, and she's looking right at me. And she's doing one of those head bobbing things, and she's looking right at me, and I'm not moving. I'm just kind of like this, and I kind of turned my eyes and like saw it out of the corner of my eyes, right? So I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, she busts, I'm done. You know, he's gonna see it and he's
Yeah.
gonna run too, right? Well, she kind of like does a little half bust and doesn't blow or anything, just kind of trots down around. So as she's trotting down around, I'm like, okay, here's my chance. I draw back. I'm like, because she's gonna pop out, he's gonna follow her, right? So I'm
Yeah.
like, here, I go to draw my bow back and I can't get my bow drawn. I'm
No,
shaking so
no.
much. From being cold at this point now, I'm just an ice cube, and I
Yeah.
had been sitting so long, and I got all these clothes, so I don't have the like the leverage that I would
Yep.
normally have, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, I can't get the freaking buck. So, and then she pops out, and I'm like, and she's standing there 35 yards, looking right at me, and I'm like, fuck it. If I draw now, she's definitely gonna bust, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, maybe he's. And I can hear him walking through the. There was like some, like, I don't know what kind of grass it was, but it had this like rattly sounding pods on it.
Yeah.
And I can hear him walking. And I can hear him breathing. And he pops
Huh.
out and he's lip curling and everything. He pops out. He's at 21 yards.
No.
So I'm like, I go to try to rip it back and I can't. And I'm like, fuck. And she, now she's like locked. She's about to blow. I'm like, all
Yeah,
right, I just need to
she's on
stop.
you.
I'm not gonna move. She's gonna start walking off, and he's gonna start walking. He's not gonna, and then I'll be able to like, you know, do one of these like sky draws or something, you know, that I
Yeah.
can get it back. Anyway, so he looks at her, and she's like, what the hell is he looking at? He looks at me, he looks at her, he looks at me, and he looks at her, and he takes off. So now
No.
he takes off running up the other side of the bank. And I'm like, I had rearranged, I pre-ranged all that stuff up.
Yep.
I saw him run up the bank. So now I sky draw and I get full draw, and he's and I meh, meh, and he stops. And I figured him for 80 yards, but he was probably like 90 yards because I shot right underneath him. And I was like,
Oh,
fuck.
dang it.
Just like another. I had him at 20. Here's the funny thing was, I was contemplating bringing my longbow or my recurve with me.
Oh,
Had I
20
had my
yards, that's a
recurve,
chip shot.
if I had
Yeah.
my recurve, he was dead.
Dead
Dead.
as a doornail.
Dead as a doornail. But I had my
Oh.
compound bow and I couldn't go because I couldn't get the damn thing drawn back.
You
I
know,
was like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like, this is the worst fucking day ever.
I've
I
run
had
into that
nightmares,
problem.
man.
I've ran into that problem too, during our late archery season that we have up in North Idaho for elk. And honestly, from my experience, it's not a bad idea to turn down your bow,
Yeah.
5 pounds or so before you go out there
Yeah.
in the
If
winter.
I when it's super cold, and it was crazy when I shot my buck, that buck right there,
Yeah.
that's
Yep.
last year's South Dakota buck.
Yep.
I shot him at 75 yards, but when I first went to draw back the first time, I got 3/4 of the way and I couldn't lock it over. It was more because of the clothes, and
Yeah.
it was like. I was like, what the hell? Between the cold and that, and I mean, but I got her back, obviously, but it was like, oh my,
Yeah,
oh,
it's tough. And
yeah.
it's a lot tougher in the winter. The limbs stiffen up, your body stiffens up a little bit. It just
Oh yeah. That laying there and falling asleep and just sitting there for like 3, 4 hours in the
Yeah,
cold
in the
just
snow, yeah, it's not good. Yeah,
wrecked me.
it'll mess you up quick. That's
Yeah.
honestly, if I had to say the number one problem that I ran into this year with clients go, it was them not knowing their weapon and not being prepared with it, and it was definitely a it was definitely one of those things where I had trust in people it telling me that they were good with it and that their bow was all sighted in, and I'd let them shoot their target when they got back to camp, and then I didn't double check it a couple times, and it was one of those things that it wasn't preparation for the hunt, and resulted in a lot of people not killing a lot of elk. So,
Yeah, we get that a lot.
yeah.
I see that a lot, especially not just even archery clients, though. To be honest with you, I see that a lot in rifle clients. Like,
Oh,
coos deer is
yeah.
like a really different animal. Like,
It's a whitetail hunt.
I know guys that are like super excellent marksmen,
Yeah.
and could shoot the eye out of a crow at 800 yards or whatever. And we have such a hard time with clients being able to find coos deer in the scope. Like, it's like,
Yeah.
if you're not used to it, it's and I don't fault them, because like, how do you practice for that? I mean, I got some things and some tips that I tell people to do, but it's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dealing with going from timber to like open sagebrush and that sort of thing with even mule deer. Takes a little bit for you to get adjusted to spotting them in the first place, let alone getting them in your scope. I mean, you start getting adrenaline going and changes things pretty quickly, unfortunately. So,
But yeah, it's part of the game, man. It's part
it
of the
is.
game. It's
It absolutely is.
being a good guide is also being able to help coach, I mean, ultimately it's up to the hunter to be proficient, but
Yep.
part of our
It
job is to be able to coach them through the shot and coach them through, execution and all that. So
Yeah.
it takes doing sometimes, and but it's part of it. It's part of the fun. It's part of the learning process for them. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But
Yeah,
as
exactly.
long as
Yeah,
they
it
go home happy, it's all that matters to us.
Yep,
So,
definitely.
share me with, I want you to share with me, because I don't think we did any real storytelling last time I had you on. But I'd like you to share with me like your most memorable hunt.
Oh, most memorable hunt from this year?
Doesn't have to be from this year, but if it was from this year, though.
I've got a pretty good one. So, we were up hunting along the top of this ridge one day. I'd been trying every part of the low country, and it was September 21st, which is my favorite day up in the mountains, hands down. Every year for archery elk, that's my favorite day. It's consistently good, and it's always been the most action that I've ever had on any given day throughout the year. And this year we're riding along on the ridge. We'd been riding for about 3 hours to get up to this spot because it's a ways from camp, and getting ready to pull off the side and park my horses, and I let out a bugle right off my horse, and all of a sudden this bull just fires back, and then another one fires back right after him, and then another one fires back after him. So we
Nice.
instantly tie off, or trying to instantly tie off. And by the time we got done tying our horses up and grabbing our gear and being ready to go, stripping down to a t-shirt because we're all bundled up riding on the horse trying to stay warm, stripping down to basically base layers in order to be ready for running after these things if we had to, all of a sudden this little raghorn bull comes stepping out about 40 yards. And my client's sitting there and he's talking to me. He's like, "Can I shoot it? Can I shoot it?" I'm like, no, wait. This is gonna be his second elk ever, and it'd be his second one with his bow." And he's really looking forward. He's trying to get just kills under his belt more than anything else, so he got more comfortable with killing elk. Because a lot of people, they put elk up on pedestals, and then once they get a couple under their belt, it gets easier and easier for them, and they stay calmer throughout the situation. But this raghorn bull steps out, and I'm like, "Don't shoot it. We have more bulls bugling. Let's just give it some time." I'm still bugling. We're standing 5 feet from the horses, and I keep bugling. I've got elk lit up all over the place. So I'm like, just hold off. Sure enough, 2 6-point bulls come up, walking up after about 5 minutes. And unfortunately, this raghorn bull's got us pinned down still. But these 2 6-points come walking up, and one of them's at 30 yards, and he's right behind one tree. Or, he's not even behind the tree completely. He's got a couple limbs covering up his vitals about halfway in between him and us. And I tell my client to get down on a knee and do the shot. And he's like, I don't feel comfortable with it. I'm not going to do it. Like, you really should take this shot. The chance of you hitting one of these limbs is super slim. Your arrow's going to punch through. And it's a tree. It's a little pine sapling. It's maybe 4 feet tall. And it just has a couple little limbs covering up his heart. Like, you should really take this shot. Doesn't do it. Doesn't do it. The 2 6-points walk away. The four little raghorns walked away at this point. And so I'm like, okay, let's go chasing after these things. And we go after those 2 6-points. They keep moving away. They end up disappearing. But to our left, there's three bulls just absolutely screaming their heads off. Like, okay, let's go after these things. See if we can make a play. See what happens. So I go over that way about 400 yards. We're moving in closer on them, getting in closer. We can hear them fighting each other just up the hill a little ways. And all of a sudden, they just completely shut up. And I know what's happening right at this moment. I know that they're dropping down to go into their little area that they go down into all these wallows in this draw, and they're heading down that way. And I get one to light up again. And then while we were chasing this one down, the other two light up and they're above us. And then they shut up again completely. So I had my client right next to me. I'm like, you have to be ready for a shot because this is going to happen any second. This thing just screamed and he's maybe 80 yards away at this point, but we're in pretty thick timber. You can only see about 40 yards, 50 yards at most, at least for a clear shot. And I get done telling him to be ready, and this bull comes just stomping in to 25 yards. All I hear is just 3 footsteps hitting, and just do do do, and he's standing there at 25 yards looking right at me. And my client can't see him. He's about 2 feet away from me, right out in front of me. My client can't see the elk. The elk can't see him. And I tell him to draw back and lean out around the tree and get the shot off. And it's like, but I can't see the bull. Where is it? Where is it? I'm like, doesn't matter. Just draw back, lean out around the tree, and he won't be able to see you. Just shoot him right behind the shoulder. You're gonna have a dead bull. Still won't do it because he's looking to see the bull first. I don't know if he just didn't trust me or what was going on, but he doesn't try and shoot this thing. And bull starts kind of getting spooky, and he takes off, stops again at 50 yards, like draw, and doesn't do it. Bull runs down, and he stops again. And at this point, he's about 65 yards, and he stopped right behind some trees. And I run out in front of my client, and I'm like, just stay right behind me, wait for this bull to come out. Well, my client leans out to try and see the elk. And the elk sees him leaning out and takes off. He disappears. After that, we got on three more bulls shortly after that weren't any of the ones that we got on. And they're bugling all the way up until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was an absolutely insane day as far as elk go. We had more bulls come in later on, ran into cows all over the place. It was just one of those days that
Magical days.
You know something should die, and yet nothing did. And it was fun running after them and chasing them and getting them all riled up and everything. And I mean, as a guide, I don't like I love seeing the bull, and I love seeing the client happy about getting the bull. But for me, when I have those close encounters, it's I mean, I never get to pull the trigger anyway, so it's just as good. It was fun. I got to outsmart a few bulls and just didn't quite make the shots happen. Like you said, that's kind of the way this season was. It's kind of the theme for this season. I had the one bull that we got this year, actually, or the one archery bull that a client of mine killed this year. He pulled off the farthest shot I've had anybody do this year, and that was he was actually 60 some odd yards. It was a 20 degree downhill shot. I told him to shoot for 52 yards. I didn't even range it when he shot. I said 52 yards, shoot the thing. He shot, bull runs off. I thought I heard it pile up, and that thing, he did pile up, but he wasn't dead. And after 45 minutes, when we walked over to go check him out and get pictures with him, I spotted him, and he jumps up, takes off, and there had been literally a red carpet of blood when we were falling lower. Bull jumps up, just walks away, didn't even run away, he just walks away slowly, and then he makes about 100 yards, and I hear this huge crash. And like, okay, he's absolutely dead. So we sit down for another hour, let him do his thing, go over there, and he had fallen off of a cliff about 30 feet down, busted through some 6 inch logs, some 8 inch logs that were on the ground, and then hit the bottom. I looked down off this cliff, and there's no bull laying there. I
Oh
could
my
see all the
God.
logs they busted through, and there's no bull laying there. Well, after he fell, his blood completely dried up. So we spent another hour and a half just like picking up little tiny specks of blood on some of the branches and on the bushes, and ends up can't find any more blood. I'm just like, you know what? I know this area about 400 yards, maybe 500 yards from here is a really good bedding area. So from last blood, I just walked in a straight line and walked over into this draw. I'm looking through, and about 80 yards away, all I see is a piece of tan, and it's that bull laying there, and literally no blood for 500 yards. And I
Yikes.
happened to step right on him. I mean, there's thick brush everywhere. He could have just rolled over into brush that was 10 feet tall, never would have found him, and he happened to die right, luckily, right in this spot. He's a nice 6x7 though, and
Nice.
that was pretty cool for me, because that was oh, what, 15 years later from the first elk that I ever called in for my brother. And my brother shot his before 8 a.m. is a 6x7 also, and
Oh,
this
that's
one
cool.
was a 6x7, same, the seventh was on the same side, and it was before 8 a.m. when he shot his too. And what's actually funny is that both of them were kind of a pain to actually find and get dead. So my brother shot his 6 or 7 times with
Oh,
his bow. Yeah, that was a mess. But yeah, it's kind of funny. Been 16 seasons of hunting elk and archery season now, and definitely been an interesting ride along the way. This year was by far the toughest as far as getting elk on the ground goes.
I feel like elk is always like a like you're always going to school, no matter what.
Oh yeah, no. If you ever stop learning while you're hunting elk, you're gonna stop killing them too.
Exactly.
You
I
get
didn't
smarter.
I went to Oregon for elk for myself, and I shot a bull the second night I was there. Shot it super low. I mean, just blood trail like you wouldn't believe for about a mile, and he
Really?
kept going up, straight up. And
Oh
I was like, what
no.
the fuck? I'm like, he's going up. I said, this bull's not, I'm not gonna find this bull. I have a feeling. But we kept following, and then just out of nowhere, the blood went from like really good to nothing.
Yeah, that's the way
And
it did on this one too.
yeah, it was crazy, and I never found them. But I know, and I knew when I shot him that it was like I cut him. I must have hit him super low, like just barely in the breastbone, basically, barely on
Yeah,
the
yep.
brisket. And it was just like a nightmare. I kept over playing it over and over and over and over again in my head. What the hell did I do wrong? It was like, for me, it was like a chip shot. Like I feel like, I don't know, either I picked the wrong pin, I don't know what I did, but I just, and that's not me, because like that's,
Yeah.
so shooting coyotes with a bow, it's like a drive-by shooting. It's perfect, perfect, perfect,
like practice for elk hunting. I mean, you couldn't ask
Absolutely.
for better. You couldn't ask for better because you're calling the
Small target calling,
coyotes
yeah.
come running in, you know, you pre-ranged a bunch of things, but you don't have time to, you know, actually range it. So you're used to judging, you know, ranges off of your marking points, just like you would do with an elk, you know? And I ranged this thing. Like I had all the time in the world. I ranged them. He was beating the shit out of a tree, had no clue I was there. And I missed, man. I don't know what I did, but I'm used to pulling up and being able to shoot like automatic, and I don't know what I did, but I screwed it up. And then the
Yeah.
rest of the trip, I didn't have that. I mean, I had another opportunity, and I was kind of gun shy. It was a 50-yard shot, and normally it was a shot I would take all day long, but because I had already like wounded an elk, I didn't take that shot, and it
Yeah.
was just like I got in my own head and. It was weird. I had a great time. I was with Shannon Mobbs and Corey Ford, Angry Spike Productions. I don't know if you ever heard of those guys. You
Yep.
got, but
Yeah.
yeah, super awesome guys. They had hunted with me in January for coos deer, and we had
Oh,
a great
nice.
time and ended up getting Corey a crazy looking muley buck instead of a coos
Cool.
deer. And you know, Corey was pretty much hunting with me the whole time because he had shot his bull before I got there. It was a great time, but and then as far as guiding is concerned, I had one early season guy, and that was only for 4 days. I only had 4 days to hunt with them, and it was miserable. They weren't talking. It was hot. It was super dry and crappy unit. And then so I had that same exact unit for late archery guy. We got him on some bulls despite what, you know, what we were faced with. I think we hunted 6 days, and I want to say we saw a total of 7 bulls and probably 12 cows. Like that's all. And I mean,
Wow.
I glassed until my eyes bled from sun up to sundown every day. And I had one of my other guides with me, Shane, who's like a phenomenal glasser. And we got him on one bull. It was like a 340 bull. He got to about 60 yards, and just couldn't make a shot, and he got busted. We got him
Dang
on a
it.
couple other bulls. So, I mean, he had opportunities, but it still didn't feel like it wasn't for me. It wasn't like one of those, like, oh, that was a great hunt, you know,
Yeah,
just,
yep. No,
you know, but,
I had a couple of those this year.
so
Yeah. Did you ever make it to Idaho to do any hunting?
no, man, I had to cancel that trip. My buddy Chad that I was gonna hunt with, he ended up going. He shot a bull.
Yep.
He shot a bull. We had that Type B tag. Yeah, he shot a bull, and it was a nice bull. That's when I shot the whitetail with my recurve. That's the only two deer that I killed this year was
Oh,
when
nice. Yeah.
I went back to New York because my wife's cousin got married and
Yep.
or was getting married,
So
it
you turned it
fell
into a
right on the
business
dates
trip.
that I was yeah it fell right on those dates, and I was like, I gotta go. You know, I can't go to Idaho. My wife's gonna kill me, and I'm really close with her cousin too. So it was like, you know, I didn't want to miss the
Yeah.
wedding on top of it.
Yeah.
So it was,
No,
but it ended
there's.
up working out. It was my first deer with a recurve. I hadn't
Yeah.
hunted with one since like 1980 something. So, you know, I figured, what the hell?
Should have hunted with one again in
In
South
South
Dakota,
Dakota.
just from
Yeah, man, I
the
was literally this close because I had several opportunities.
sounds of it.
The year, you know, last year I had several opportunities, and I say last year, 2017, that I could have killed a couple times, you know, bucks that I wouldn't shoot with my compound, but I definitely would have shot
Yep.
with the recurve, you know, and I had him at 20,
Yeah.
30 yards a couple times, and I was like, ah, oh, maybe I'll bring that. And I gotta be honest with you, man.
I kind of miss those days where I didn't really give a shit how big it was. Like, any deer was like, and that's kind of why I want to start shooting a recurve or a longbow again, because, or more often, I should say, because I like going out and just getting excited that there's an opportunity. Like today, this morning, we went out. I got on a pretty good buck. I just couldn't make it happen. I got 86 yards and then again 82
Yeah, that
yards.
video that you put on Instagram, I saw that.
I had him a couple of times. I had his does at 35 yards, and I like he just
He
somebody
wouldn't
shot
commit.
at him. Somebody shot at him 2 days
Oh.
ago. My cousin Anthony
Little gun
watched.
shy.
Yeah, my cousin Anthony watched somebody shoot at him. So like, he's like, and he's super skittish now. So like, I don't know. He's gonna be real
Yeah.
tough to kill anyhow. But
How many
so.
it is your season over now, or what,
No,
how many
it
more
goes to the
days do you have left?
31st,
Oh, wow.
31st of January for deer season, and then the whole month of February we'll be hunting javelina. So,
Oh, nice.
yeah,
That's still
I'm full for
something on my
javelina
list,
hunts,
is
man.
killing pigs.
Dude,
Definitely on my
it's
list.
honestly, it's my I just shot one a couple days ago,
Yep. Saw
in
that.
the archery season. But it's literally my. It's a fun hunt for me to do, but it's my most favorite hunt to guide. One,
Yeah.
because it's the only hunt that I've ever had for however many years now that it's been 100% success rate for us, you know.
Yeah. That's always a good thing.
It's they were built for bow hunting, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not, I'm not going to say they're easy. The terrain they occupy is difficult. You're going to be hiking your ass off. You still have to be quiet. You still have to be downwind. They just have kind of shitty eyesight. So if you're not stupid, if you're not stupid, you could get in on them, you know? And especially if you could shoot 50 yards or so, you know, you're golden. And I mean, they're a fun hunt to do with the longbow and recurve. I shot one last year or 2 years ago. And the year prior to that, let's see, got one at like 7 yards and then the other one at like 12. That was super fun. That was
That
like,
sounds like a lot of fun.
yeah, so.
Yeah, I've definitely been kind of itching to start getting into a recurve, add a little extra challenge to it, and
Yeah.
I get what you're saying about getting excited about the shot again
Yeah,
and
I
that
don't need a
opportunity.
challenge. It's not the challenge that I need. I just need an excuse to shoot small shit. Where I'm not gonna get shamed, you know?
Oh, here comes a calf with milk on its lips. Okay, we can take
Yeah,
that.
exactly. It's a recurve.
No, a
I'm
lot of
still gonna
people
get
have been
blazed.
putting a lot of people have been putting too much pressure on the size of animals
I
nowadays.
know. I've been
It's
putting too much on
getting a little
myself.
ridiculous. Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, honestly, with I mean, there's nothing I want to shoot a 240-inch buck just as much as the next guy, but it's almost so common now with how deer are raised and elk are basically, I mean, these animals are in a lot of areas are kind of groomed to be huge, and it's
Yeah, that just makes it
the
worse.
problem is yeah the problem is
Because
that
when I don't have one, it makes me think I'm not putting much more money.
exactly I don't hunt those areas. I hunt over-the-counter tags in Idaho, so it's I mean there's good bucks throughout Idaho, but your chances of getting them are way down from, let's say,
Well, I lost you.
recurve's definitely something I want to try and get into. So I think that's what we're over right before everything happened.
I know. There's something about it too. Like I've always been fascinated. Like I've been building bows for years and years and years, and I was always just too chicken shit to go hunt with them because I want to kill something, you know, and I don't feel like I would be able to. with it. So like, but I've always been fascinated with the stick and string. It's just kind of like a, I don't know. I collect them even because I love them so much, but it's
Yeah,
something that you
it's
don't
kind of
get. You don't get with that piece of machinery, you know, the compound bow. It's like, it's more like, I don't know, how can I don't know. It's like
man
buying,
with
a new computer. Yeah, they're badass and it's cool. It's got all the bells and whistles, but there's just like, I don't know, it doesn't feel the same as like, yeah.
I definitely know what you're saying. It's a little bit more intimate. It's taking it back to the way it used to be. And I mean, Fred Bear did it for years, killed all sorts of stick and string.
Oh,
It
yeah.
it's kind of it.
There's a lot of
You
guys out
can't
there
say
still
that.
killing shit with it.
Can't and like, yeah, Aaron Snyder, he kills quite a bit with his, but it's one of those things that if you can't say that you're putting a like one weapon's better than another, but it's a little bit more bare bones and back to the roots of hunting in general. So it's definitely one of those things that it'd be good to get into again. I used to shoot instinctual when I was a kid, and
Yeah, me too.
even with a on bow without sights. So I couldn't see much of a difference between switching over to a recurve bow. I mean, distance is limited, but it's one of those things that it becomes an art form over anything else. It takes a lot to master a recurve over a compound, I'd say.
Oh yeah.
You have
Well,
to get
you
your
have to
point right.
be practiced like constantly. You know, you constantly have to go out and shoot at targets. Constantly have to be pulling, you know. It has to become one. And you should be that way with your compound too. But you could put your compound down, not touch it for 3 months, go out there and still, you know, hit the X because.
Sometimes it's a year.
Yeah. You
I've
know.
picked up my bow after a year and been like, I haven't even shot this thing, and hunting season's coming up. I better make sure that this thing's even sighted in anymore. It hasn't been bumped or anything like that. So I pull it up and shoot a few times, everything's dialed in, and then go hunting. So
Yeah, a lot of guys are that way.
I don't think I'd do that with a recurve bow. I mean,
No.
there's got to be or there's a lot of muscle memory, but it's one of those things that you definitely have to be diligent with. Otherwise, you won't be able to make the shot when it comes to the end of it. And that the recurve pushes you to move closer to animals. It's kind of part of the reason that I stopped doing a lot of long range shooting in general is, even with a rifle, is because for me, at this point, it's become like shooting an animal out at 800 yards or whatever. It's become shooting to me and not hunting anymore.
Right.
So for me, being up close and personal, and it's not anything against anybody else's shooting method. If you enjoy hunting the way that you do and it's legal, then
Oh
have
yeah,
at it.
no, I
But
don't frown upon it at all.
yeah, but for me personally, I like being closer and knowing that the animal could smell me if something happens, or they could see me possibly, or whatever it may
Right.
be. But it's all about everybody has their own different
Yeah.
experience that they're
M
at
my
different.
philosophy with the rifle is this. I don't mind the super long shots, and I really love the really close in shots. I just don't like the middle ground shots because I feel like it's really not that hard to get 400 yards away from an animal, like in my opinion, for the most part. You know, depends what you're hunting, I guess, but and where you're hunting, terrain and whatnot. But 300, 400 yards is not that hard to do, and that's like a chip shot for the modern rifle, you know, super easy. But to get in that 100 yard, 150 yard, you know, that's still pretty difficult to do, and you know. even though the gun's super, easy to do it. And then, and conversely, that 700, 800, 900 yard shot, that takes marksmanship and takes practice and whatever. And, you're happy about the shot you made and not so much your ability to stalk in and kill something, So it's kind of like that's where my head's at with that, like, so.
Too. The only thing that I have noticed with long range shooting being more popular is I've found a lot more dead animals up in the
Oh.
mountains. Well, not doing follow up, like not on their shot and checking. Or honestly, the best way I found it, long range shooting isn't good for, it's not good to do by yourself because
Right.
really have to have a spotter. And honestly, at long range shooting and archery hunting, I love having a video camera rolling because you can go back and you can look at where you hit the animal
Right.
with shots every now and then. Even like what you said with your bull, you hit a little low and you know whether or not, hey, I need to pursue this animal or I need to back off and give it a little shot.
Excuse me. Yeah.
And the same thing goes with long range shots. I mean, if you miss, you miss. That's fine. The bull walks away, or the deer, or whatever you're shooting at, walks away. But you shoot and you hit it in the leg or something like that, where or in the guts, and you know it's gonna die, but you can't tell if you hit it or not for sure. I mean, that bull's just gonna wander off. Sometimes
Yep.
people are too late to go over there, unfortunately. But it's something I ran into a few times with the long
Oh
range
yeah.
hunting being more popular.
Yep.
It's all
No, I
about being
agree.
proficient, no matter what you're using. You have to be proficient with it, and you have to be calm, cool, and collected when it time comes the time to shoot. So.
Amen. Well, cool, man. Well, now maybe this year, if I come out to Idaho, you won't be guided. Maybe we'll hook up.
It's yeah, I'm looking forward to a little bit more free time this year to go and do hunting with people I want to hunt with and where I want to hunt and how I want to hunt. So,
Yeah, I hear that. Awesome, Ralph. Well, thanks for coming on and chatting with us, and good luck on your new endeavor, and hopefully that goes well. And we'll talk to you soon.
definitely be keeping in touch with you and seeing what hunts you have planned out for this year. So,
Awesome, Ralph. Thanks.
talk to you in a bit.
Hey guys, want to stay connected with the podcast? Check out my blog, johnstallone.me. That's www.johnstallone.me. And you could go on there. On the top right-hand corner, there's a little subscribe box. Quickly put in an email address, hit subscribe, and boom, you're done. There's a lot of great information on there, a lot of posts that go hand in hand with the podcast that we do, plus gear reviews. Plus, we have the signature t-shirts on there, the I Eat Fast Food t-shirts, and the Tuesday Coosday shirts. It's a really good way to stay connected with the podcast. And thanks for listening.